Well, the Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Barker, continue to squander some really, really, really good pitching. A 1-0 loss tonight to the Cleveland Guardians. Boy, I'm sure a lot of you have got some thoughts, particularly on this lineup. The numbers are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Kevin, this game to me comes down to the first and third innings. Dalton Varsho grounding out with two on and striking out with the bases loaded after George Springer was called out in strikes with the bases loaded. We spent a large portion of the last month or month and a half looking at each other and saying, can you believe this team actually had Dalton Varsho hitting cleanup at one point in the season? And they were kind of laughing, and there he is in the fifth spot tonight. Now, I know Kevin Kiermaier went in the IL today. Of course, Bo Bichette is not here. In hindsight, maybe not the day you'd want to give Matt Chapman the day off. Matt Chapman ended up coming in pinch hitting. I guess you break up the righty hitters, but Kevin, 8 for 49, 7 walks, 15 strikeouts, a .281 on base percentage for Dalton Varsho with runners in scoring position with two out. I'm going to credit Mr. Barker with those stats. I mean, you put a lineup like this out there and tonight the Jays were found out tonight.
Yeah, I guess. It's very hard to come on here and be hard on Dalton Varsho. It's not lack of effort.
No, it's also not Dalton Varsho. I guarantee he didn't go into John's office and go, I got to hit fifth today.
Yeah, sometimes I think that just by reading those numbers out loud, it's a tough look. Like, it's, again, even in the ninth inning there, if he's hitting at the bottom of the order, he's coming up when it matters, right? It's some of this when you're rolling around, it's luck, right? You're trying to line everybody up to, you know, for bat pass and change ups. And it's just with Dalton Varsho, with a guy in runners that's standing on second or third, he just, it's a challenge for him to have a quality at bat, right? And I just don't know what the answer is with that, right?
Look, if we're going with a guy who's done damage, like, I'll put it this way. And I'll ask Blue Jays fans this. Is there anybody you'd less rather see up there in the five hole? Paul DeJong, maybe. I mean, I understand it's a lefty-righty thing, and I'm sure bat paths have something to do with it, but, you know, I mean, Dalton Varsho is what Dalton Varsho is this year. He's giving you great defense. His biggest offensive contribution is his ability to bunt to get in base and his speed in the base pass. But, I mean, it's almost like you're trying to force something that isn't there.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair. Like, and I think it's to the point where, again, whenever I saw at the beginning of the season he's hitting cleanup, we had his dad on, and his dad, the one word he uses when he found out he was hitting cleanup, was shocked. Like, it's family wide here. Like, I don't want to laugh at that because I've been in these spots, and these pitchers they are facing are legit. Like, when it matters the most, they are attacking your weakness. The only issue with Dalton is right now he has a lot of those. I mean, it's changeups away. It's the elevated fastball. It's the back foot slider. Like, there's a lot of easier ways to try and get him out with a runner in scoring position. Then I think if you're a Jays fan, that you'd like to see. It's just that I just don't know if you got an answer for it. Like, it's like you said at the trade deadline. I think sometimes, especially this time of the year, the way he's looking, that's why you wanted them to go out and try and get that bat that may take away a few at bats. So these situations here, maybe they're a little bit more competitive, but it is. That's the first thing whenever you were reading the lineup out to us on our show, I said, who's hitting fifth again?
Yeah.
I thought they were over that.
No, I'm not going to let George Springer off the hook either.
You don't like the slider. You're getting the slider away when it matters the most.
You got five sliders in a row and then you're called out in a change.
Yeah, I think it's four in a row, but yeah.
Or four in a row. Pardon me. Four in a row. You're right. And then the change.
Yeah, I mean, that's this is the time of the year, right? Whenever there is no secrets. Like, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to show up and they don't know that you don't like the slider. Yeah, they know it. And when push comes to shove, they're going to give it to you. And it's up to you to not overswing. It's up to you to force them on the plate. And if you don't, it's going to sort of look like it is. And I don't want to say that you wasted the start that you got from Yusei.
You did.
But you sort of did.
You sort of did. And that's where I want to go next. The numbers are 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. We are here until 10:15 Eastern tonight talking about the Blue Jays 1-0 loss to the Cleveland Guardians, the second night in a row that the Guardians threw out some good young pitching at the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays had no answer tonight for Tanner Bibee.
Just as they didn't for
Gavin Williams. That aside, we've got to talk about Yusei Kikuchi.
Yep.
This is not a very good lineup.
Nope. Right?
The Guardians lineup is not very good.
Well said.
The Guardians lineup stinks, I mean, would be the way to put it. Yusei Kikuchi.
They scored one more run the Jays did.
One more run the Jays did, exactly. Gives up the infield hit to Gonzalez. And then Ramon Laureano, who's just been picked up on waivers, doubles to drive in the run. And that's it. Yusei Kikuchi, Kevin, he gave him 7 innings tonight. There's nothing else he could do. He gave up, what, 2 doubles in 7 innings. Walked 1. How do you not win that game?
Well, I mean, the other
how
guy
do you
was
not
better.
Win that
the
game.
Other team pitched better. The other that's sort of what it is. I mean, Yusei was 18 out of 25 throwing strike one. That's a big deal. He averaged a little over 14 pitches per inning. That's a big deal. The timing with the ball out of the glove is a huge thing for him. When he kicks his leg, having the timing on par, getting it out of the glove, having it run down the leg that he's pushing off of, allows him to be on time with his release point. That's a huge deal. That's when he's not doing that, the ball or the fastball is all over the place. He misses arm side a lot. It was on par tonight. The velocity on the fastball was awesome.
It was really good.
He was throwing the fastball in the zone over 70% of the time. When he's doing that with velocity, it makes the slider better. It makes the curveball better. I don't know where they'd be without him. I mean, it's real simple and easy to say. Just to say what he's evolved into after the way he looked last year, I mean, I don't know. I guess the two people in this room were trying to run him out of town last year, warranted, because he didn't look real good. And then he went home and he said, you got to fix the windup, the mechanics. You got to be better on time, and you got to be convicted in what you want to do with the fastball. Do I throw hard or not? Let's figure it out and figure out how to consistently throw hard. And when he's throwing as hard as he's throwing now and can keep the slider and the curveball, not all the time, a lot of the times in the zone, he's going to dominate bad teams or bad lineups like the Guardians are, and it's going to look like it is.
Ian in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
You're going well, man.
When I saw the lineup for tonight's game, my first question was, are they trying to make sure that they didn't score any runs tonight, which is exactly what they did. Five guys hitting 225 and below, and Vlad, who's barely hit 200 over the last month or so, it isn't like I was shocked that they got skunked tonight again. When you had Snyder, Chapman, and Kirk, who all have been hitting pretty well, and you sat all of them. I don't know what John Schneider was thinking with that.
Well, I can tell you, Chapman got it. That was a scheduled day off. The same as Vladdy's had a scheduled day off and Springer's had a scheduled day off.
Planted those a month ago.
Yeah.
I get it, but you're in a playoff race and no offense to these guys, they're paid big money.
They don't have anything to do with us. We're not making it out. If it was up to us, we'd be putting them in the lineup.
If it's up to Barker, we would be. I have no problem with guys getting scheduled days off. They're used to that now. That's the way the game is.
Yep.
There's no point in complaining about it. That's every team does that. What I will say though, and I'll let you get to, I know you've got something else you want to talk about. If Matt Chapman can pinch hit for me in the ninth inning, then he should be playing every day. If you're or the whole game, if you're going to give a guy a day off, give a guy a day off. That's it. Give a guy a day off. And that's, you know, that's where I kind of, that's where I, where Kevin and I have a little bit of a difference here.
The problem is that the offense has been such an abject failure most of the year this year, is, and you're only 2.5 up on a playoff spot where this team should be 10 clear of Seattle right now, not, you know, fighting tooth and nail. Like, that's where this team should be.
But well, you could also make the point, too, that giving Matt Chapman a day off when there's no Bo Bichette in the lineup is, I mean, I can agree with you. It's not hard for me to see your point of view is what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree. Question for both of you was, do you know which team has the best ERA since the beginning of July?
The beginning of July, maybe the Guardians.
Yeah, the Lakers. No.
Who?
Baltimore. 3.23 going into tonight. Which, I was shocked. I was shocked about that. I didn't think that they had been that good. So
their bullpen is tremendous, and they're getting decent starting pitching.
And look, they dummied the Jays when they came to Toronto.
If it wasn't for
three walks, two hit batters, and one error, they probably sweep that entire series. So
you are right.
And I was at that game. And the last thing I wanted to ask is, and hear your thoughts on it, was where you think, like, do you think that with the offense the way it is, if Bo's back, if Schneider's in, if everyone is in, do you think that they can actually go far in the playoffs? Because the way that this has gone this year, they're going to face they're facing Minnesota, Tampa, or Houston in the first round. Most likely, all of them have good pitching staffs as well. Not like the Jays are way ahead of them, but I look at their offenses, Tampa and Houston, I see them way ahead of Toronto's in the fact of how they execute. Minnesota, they lit up Gausman in one of his starts, and they lit up Bassett in one of his starts. So
yeah, I mean, I got no fear of playing the Minnesota Twins. You've lucked out if you've done that. Tampa, I want to see. Let's see where Tampa is without Shane McClanahan, if he's done for the rest of the year, and Tyler Glasnow's not around. I wouldn't sit here and say that I want no part of Tampa, to be honest. Houston, I don't want any part of. I just don't want any part of Houston. Although, oddly enough, the Jays do play Houston pretty well. I just trust Houston. I trust Houston more in the playoffs than I do Minnesota or even Tampa.
Yeah, but thanks for the call. The point is well made, though, about the lineup, right?
It is.
There are some glaring holes when it comes to an at bat that you need to get somebody out with. You've seen there are places that you can go to most of those guys and get them out. And that is...
Except for maybe Whit Merrifield.
Well, I mean, there's obvious choices there, like Bo Bichette and Whit Merrifield. And there's some guys, right, that you can... have to be really fine with and make the perfect pitch. And then there's other guys, and other guys will get themselves out. And I think to Ian's point, that's sort of the way it's looking when, especially you're facing a guy that can add and subtract, you know, make it look like a strike till the last minute and be good with the fastball. It's going to be a challenge.
Bob in Toronto, you've got a question for Kevin Barker. I'm just going to leave the room.
Well, it's a beat a dead horse kind of question to do with the hitting scoring position. The Jays are good enough, first of all, to be 13 games over 500, and they're good enough to get men into scoring position in the first place. And yet they're 28th in the league in hitting in men in scoring position. Kevin, I want to ask you, have you talked to the Blue Jay coaching staff, maybe the players as well, about the approach that they're taking, which is good enough to get men in scoring position in the first place, but what are they doing as a team in when they do get men in scoring position? There must be an approach that they're taking, either swinging too much or whatever. Can you elaborate a bit more about that?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. Absolutely. Me and Jeff both have talked to the manager, and you know, we've tried to talk to other coaches around the team. a lot when it comes to, that's the topic, right? It's how do you figure out
how to
get
the hitting coaches are real fond of us right now.
Probably not. It's look, when I do think whenever you are in that spot, I understand that they want a 1-9 approach, which is hunt the heater and adjust to everything else. I think occasionally, because there are some glaring holes, I mean, you can go down the list here and you can tell people what they are, right? Dalton Varsho don't like the elevated fastball. Chapman don't like the elevated fastball. George Springer don't like the slider. Like, there's consistent at-bats throughout that order that are jumbled together who are not the hardest to pitch to. I think that's the issue. I don't think it's lack of not having an approach when they go to the plate. I think Vladdy tries too hard. I think Vladdy hears the noise of everybody saying, yelling and screaming that he's the best hitter on the team and should be carrying this team. And
he's not the best hitter in the team. We can stop that.
I understand that, but coming into the season, it was Vladdy. If Vladdy is an MVP candidate, this team will go very far. That's not the conversation we were having. Now that conversation's changed. But he is just a human like everybody else. And here's the little bit of that noise. And when you try too hard, you chase too much, things don't end up the way you want them to end up. And sometimes I think we maybe expect too much, and maybe they're just not capable of doing that all the time. Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, I don't think it's too much to expect to hit with runner in scoring position.
Have you ever done it? It's
no.
Hard. And nowadays, we had Jose
Nobody
Bautista.
Out there. There's only like 200 people.
We had Jose Bautista on today, and he's talking after retiring about how much he hates the elevated fastball and what he wouldn't do with it. It's the same thing, right? It's like you got a weakness, you know you got it, and you're trying to let the pitcher get to it. It's not the easiest thing to do. I'm not making excuses for him, it's hard.
How do other teams seem to have solved it? Other teams seem to be able to drive in men from base.
Yeah, who are the other teams?
There's at least 27 of them in front of the Blue Jays if they're 28th with runners in scoring position. There's at least 27 of them.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, it's hard.
Well,
but guess what? It's no easier for Tampa Bay, or it's no easier for Baltimore. It's no easier for Atlanta. They're still seeing the same stuff. L.A.'s still seeing the same stuff.
Yeah, I think that's
It's not like the Jays are getting, oh my God, they're facing pitching that no one else faces.
Bo and Vladdy are really good at it. Everybody else is not.
Well, that's
your best two players.
Then you know what?
Are hitting with runners in scoring position.
Then you know what?
Everybody else.
That's a problem with your lineup. Then
Springer's not good at it. Chapman's not good at it. Varsho's not good at it. Like, you could go down the list who's not hitting with runners in scoring position when it comes to average.
Well,
homers.
What does that got to do with the high fastball?
That's because there's weaknesses there. That's lot of the reason why they're not in with that.
Well, other teams seem to handle it.
You're going to say again, 27 other teams.
Well, I do believe that there are 27 other teams that are, I'm not saying they'll handle the high heater better, but there's 27 other teams that are better than the Blue Jays with runners in scoring position. Oh, what's the problem with seeing that?
Huh?
Guy and Maple.
Hey guys. Just a couple of things, starting with the Chapman sitting today. What I don't understand is the methodology behind it. I mean, you have a day game coming after a night game in the next 2 days. So if you're going to rest Chapman, why wouldn't you rest him on Thursday rather than Wednesday? Why would you rest him when you have a left-handed pitcher pitching, which means more balls are going to be hit to the third baseman, which actually happened. And when they scored their run, I'm sure Chapman gets to one of those balls that Espinal didn't get to. And I don't know if he's going to be positioned differently on the ball that Laureano hit, but I'm sure he makes the first play. So the methodology of that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You can give him two full days off, basically. Now he's going to be playing two games in 18 hours. Nice day of rest. So I didn't like that move. I didn't like the fact that you bench Snyder after he has one 0-for-4 game.
Oh, he didn't bench him. You bench a guy. You bench a guy. Alex Cora benched Alex Verdugo, right? They didn't bench Davis Schneider because he was 0-for-4. Come on.
No, I didn't mean bench. I mean sit him after an 0-for-4. So I chose the wrong word there. But you sit him after he does what he did when he has one 0-for-4. So I didn't understand that. And there's a good chance he may have faced this guy who's basically a rookie. Maybe the only guy who may have hit this guy, I don't know. But I didn't understand that move. Varsho, I totally agree with you guys, should never be hitting where he was hitting. But, you know, the bottom five guys in the lineup, what were they, 0 for 15, 1 for 16, something like that, 15 free outs, how do you get a win? But so that's kind of where I stand with the Chapman. As far as this team, how they'll fare in the playoffs, I'll say it once, I'll say it again. This team is going to fare very well if they make the playoffs just because of their pitching and defense. And I think it's going to be up to Springer and Vladdy to pick things up. If they'll go as far as those guys take them, because this is the fourth time in a month that Springer's just needed a sack fly to either win a game or tie a game. And he hasn't been able to do that. And I think it was twice in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. And there was also a game in Seattle where he could have broke the game wide open and gets into a first pitch double play or something like that. But I think our team will go as far as those two guys carry them. And I just want to know your thoughts on if you agree with that or how far do you think they'll go. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, man. If they're depending on those two guys to carry them, Springer and Guerrero, they're not winning the first round. They've got the pitching to do it.
But I think Ross has came out and said that the expectations for the names didn't matter. He doesn't have to say them out loud. He's absolutely talking about those guys.
Yeah. Well. Okay. The guy. I mean, I don't have a great deal of confidence in them. I mean, but the caller's right. The bullpen.
It's an educated call.
The starting pitching in the bullpen is good enough. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Obviously, being kind of facetious, Guerrero and Springer, it would certainly help. But I mean, have we seen signs of it? Has there been a sign? Have we seen? You know, George Springer's had a nice little run of four or five games. And I think it's safe to say that he's probably looking better right now than he has often this year. Vladdy, I don't know. You have an infield hit and a single to left tonight. I mean, you know, two hits is great. I don't know. I just don't know with Vladdy. I don't know what I expect of him. I don't know what I expect of him anymore. I really don't. I thought that at bat he had in the fifth inning, fifth or sixth, the fly ball to center field was just like,
0-0 pitch. The slider was right down the middle. Yeah,
fly ball to center. You're right. Hitting's tough. I know hitting's tough, but I haven't seen any signs. You know, I guess I'm sure his exit velo was still fine, but I haven't seen signs that suggest that he's, you know, I thought he had to step up in Bo Bichette's absence. I mean, has he stepped up? I don't know. Seems to me other guys have done. It seems to me Davis Schneider stepped up in his absence. John Schneider, the other Schneider, the Schneider in charge, the top dog. John Schneider talking a few minutes ago about this 1-0 loss.
I think we're definitely trending in the right direction. You know, you look at the series in Boston and you add on a run yesterday late with a, you know, get them over, get them in type deal. And, you know, we're confident where we are with the guys we have. And I think we're heading in the right direction for sure. I think tonight you tip your hat to a dude who made really good pitches in big spots. But I think, you know, whatever we've done, you know, we can't get back. You know, I think what we're focusing on is the right thing and have the right dudes to do it. And tonight just wasn't the night.
Can it feed on itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, if everyone that's watching the game is in the clubhouse and in the dugout, it's, you know, the vibe and the feeling of where we are right now in terms of that runners in scoring position and an approach is good. That being said, I know it's a shutout game tonight. And I think you really just kind of bottle it up to two really good young pitchers that make good pitches against us that we haven't seen. So, it can definitely be contagious, and hopefully we get right back on the ball tomorrow.
Yeah, see, I'm with John Schneider in this and that. I'm still looking back at that Boston series, and even though he had a couple of openers in that situation, we know that the Jays had an approach in that series.
Yep.
That worked for them.
Yep.
1-9. And I'm going to go with John Schneider because, I mean, the kid last night was electric. The kid last Williams. Night was yep. was tremendous. And this dude's done it much of
really
the year.
Good. He's really good, too.
So, yeah. You know, maybe we ought to hold off a little bit here. They did run into, and it. I know people were saying, Jeff, they're young hitters. They're young pitchers, the veteran hitters. They're really good young. They're young dudes that throw 96. They're young dudes who, the thing that impresses me about the Guardians, Kevin, they just seem so comfortable pitching the top of the zone. And maybe it's just because I'm thinking of those two dudes.
Oh, it's back to the elevated fastball.
Well, yeah, they're good at it. It's amazing. It's amazing that the Jays appear to be the only team in baseball that doesn't understand that people are pitching the top of the zone.
Example, Springer in the third inning got sliders to hit. Overswung, didn't hit him. Dalton Varsho got an 0-0 hanging slider
that
he pulled way foul. Yeah. That was a bad swing because it's out and around. The point is you're going to get one pitch to hit. You better hit it.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0591. Nothing. The Jays have lost to the Cleveland Guardians. Game three of the series goes tomorrow. A reminder, game four is a 107 first pitch from Progressive Field. We will take a break, come back and wrap up, take a look around the American League East. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Confidence, conviction, stuff, you know, reading hitter swings, him and Jano, great mix, early and late. You know, I think he's been as consistent as anyone really the last, you know, couple months. And it's kind of the stuff that he has. Curveball, huge pitch for him tonight. Last pitch was a changeup for a strikeout, too, and held his heater velo, too. So I think kind of just evolving as he's going, keeping hitters in between heater slider with the curveball and changeup, he's been, I mean, you can't really say enough about what he's done.
Yeah, maybe we need to kind of stow all that talk about putting Yusei Kikuchi into the bullpen for a while, at least.
Who's we?
You're saying. Both people in this room have mentioned that it would be a possibility. Both? There's nobody. Well, yeah, you did too.
What, three starters? You're going to need three starters in playoffs. Somebody's going to be the odd guy out.
We talked about, you know, the question was, what do you do with Manoah, Ryu, and Kikuchi? And I, of course, being the voice of reason, said, just shut up and don't worry about it because somebody could get hurt, which is what happened to Hyunjin Ryu.
Well, let it beat you.
Speaking of getting hurt, Chad Green, stay hot, Chad. Oh, yeah. Chad Green left his rehab appearance at AAA Buffalo after getting hit in the head with a throw on the ball from a catcher. And it was in the bottom of the fifth inning. Tyler Heineman attempted to throw out Worcester's Ryan Fitzgerald, stealing second base, as you would. And he clipped Green on the head. The former Yankee, this is according to wire reports, did not appear to be seriously injured, but was taken out of the game as a precaution. So there you go.
Never seen that. You ever seen that live?
I've seen guys get hit in the head? Yeah.
On a throw down to second?
Yeah.
I've seen him getting hit in the fanny, but never in the head.
I've seen guys get hit in the head.
But bent over and trying to get out of the way, and the catcher chokes it off and hits him right in the backside. I've never seen a guy get hit in the head.
Anyhow, it happens.
It does?
It's like, oh, I've never seen an unassisted double play like Kevin Biggio did. And I said, I've seen it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then tonight I find out it's like the second ever made in baseball history. So there you go.
Yeah. And you were there for the first one.
I was there for the first. I remember it was, I think it was Stinky Williams for the Worcester Bay Sox, I think, in 1906, as I remember. Yeah. Had to send my story back to the Herald by a carrier pigeon.
So you're sorry.
I'm never sorry. Time now for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet in things like prayer props. Prayer props. That's what we need
in
this show.
Slow down. Player props,
totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. I actually like prayer props. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. Kevin Barker, let's take a look around the AL East, shall we?
Let's hear it.
Let's see what's going on as he fires up his... Oh, look, the New York Yankees. They're beating the Chicago White Sox 4-1. There you go. The Yankees beating the White Sox 4-1. Oh, Houston and Baltimore. Houston and Baltimore, another one, a big one. Houston and Baltimore. Stop scrolling. Oh, the Astros, 7-6 winners over the Baltimore Orioles.
It was 6-2 when you told me like
it was 6-2
when
we talked about it.
Yeah.
And I'm missing somebody here. I'm missing Tampa Bay, I think. And I can't find them. Oh, here we go. Tampa Bay won 4-2 over the St. Louis Cardinals. So there you go. That means, as we look at the standings, I'm trying to call up the standings. Right? My computer's slow. Give me a break here. I can say this. The Baltimore Orioles are in first place in the American League East. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. And... yeah, the Rays are in second, the Jays are in third, the Red Sox are in fourth, and the Yankees are dead last.
Hmm.
How do you like that?
Well,
That's what happens.
Well, that's the best job you've ever done.
My computer, man.
You nailed that.
It's just scuffling.
Preparation is key. Look.
Plan ahead. You know what they say, plan ahead.
Boy.
1-0, the Jays lost to the Cleveland Guardians tonight. Lots of talk, obviously, about the lineup. Dalton Varsho, you say Kikuchi. If you are facing, like, I'm sure the Jays have scouting reports on all these, on these young guys. And again, Tanner, it's not like Tanner Bibee just arrived from AAA today. He's been pitching in the majors this year. But let's say that you haven't seen a lot of the a lot of these guys. You haven't seen a Gavin Williams, for example. What would your approach be as a hitter going up against a guy?
Look, fastball right down the middle. But I don't think that's what we've been talking about. What we talk about with runners in scoring position, if you're a pitcher on the mound, I'd rather give up a single on a fastball middle away to right field from a right-handed hitter with nobody on base. When that dude's standing at second,
what
or
would it
base
tell
is
you?
Loaded, I'm going to go to his weakness.
What would it tell you?
You don't like the change-up away, he's getting the change-up away.
What would it tell you as a pitcher when you are facing a team that is having difficulties with runners in scoring position? I mean, clearly you're aware of it, but how does that factor into what you would do as a pitcher, do you think?
I think they would not show their hand with nobody on base. It's like you might go, right, you may not go sequencing that you would go with, like Springer got four sliders in a row and a changeup. He ain't getting that with nobody on base, right? They're going to pitch to him differently. They would rather give up that single or that, you know, double to right field. They're okay with that. It's that traffic on the bases when they really are bearing down and know that the guy don't like to slider away. You're going to get the slider away. Like, it's until you show that other team that you can at least have a competitive approach and, you know, slow your swing down a little and think out front on a slider and maybe backspin that to right center, or you're going to continue to get it and you'll have challenges getting hits when it matters. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. And this gets back to that sort of luck thing. When you're not playing the dudes that you normally play, and then Varsho comes up with the bases loaded, he did that in the first inning, you know, with first and second, and he grounded out, and then he came up with in the third inning. It's, that's some bad luck, right? Because that guy has had some issues in that spot.
I do want to say that I know there's some of you may have been watching the Atlanta Pittsburgh game, or may have seen Ronald Acuña Jr. getting hit by a pitch on his left elbow from Colin Holderman. He left the game. It was a 97-mile-an-hour pitch. Left the game. X-rays, just to move, the X-rays came back negative. But Acuña did leave the game. And of course, he's having a terrific year right now. And
MVP
and so are
the National League.
Oh, without question. Well,
Freddie Freeman's pretty
Freddie
good,
Freeman's
too.
Freddie Freeman's pretty
close. Those two are right there.
But probably I'd probably go with Acuña as my MVP. Ahead of Freeman,
I don't know how you could argue. I'm sure it's
best team in base, best player in the best team.
But if
in
they
baseball.
Gave it to Freddie Freeman, you couldn't argue that.
Oh no,
yeah,
no.
He's having just as good a year.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, to me, Freddie Freeman's almost like Mike Trout in that you could vote for him as your MVP every year, and as long as he's healthy, you could vote for him as your MVP every year and defend your vote. You can defend your vote as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, there's not too many people that are left-handed that can hit lefties the way he does, that can hit a breaking ball the way he does, that can hit elevated fastballs the way he does, that can use the entire field the way he does, that can control the strike zone. He does everything that a really good superstar hitter is supposed to do that hits in the middle of the order for one of the best teams in baseball, not just the National League.
1-0. Kevin Barker's Toronto Blue Jays. Losing to the Cleveland Guardians tonight. The series is tied at one game apiece. Game 3 goes tomorrow. Again, a 7:10 first pitch Thursday. A reminder is a 1:07 first pitch. You can catch the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and across the television network as well. And, well, let's see if the Jays can get back at it. They won 4 in a row before running into Tanner Bibee tonight. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. We talked about the issues that Jays have had with runners in scoring position. I think some of us thought that maybe they left those issues behind them in Boston. Clearly, they're back. But as John Schneider said, you know, two good young pitchers. I'll tip my cap tonight. You see that I'm tipping my rhetorical cap.
You do was good last night, and you won.
I'm tipping my cap to
you
him
won
too
last night, and the pitcher was good.
I'm still tipping my cap anyhow.
You've changed.
Let's see what tomorrow night brings, shall we? That's it for us. We'll be back 5 to 7 Eastern tomorrow for Blair and Barker. Have yourself a great night.